There was a band playing in my head. And I felt like getting high. I was thinking about what a friend had said. I was hoping it was a lie. 2021 started as many had predicted and most had feared. A four nations national lockdown was announced on January 2nd, which was to last until Sunday, February 28th. The mess at Dover, although slightly less hysterical than it had been in late December, continued on into mid-January. Continuity remained delivering I told you so's at every opportunity. What many of us had also predicted, the inevitable short extension to the trade talks, was invoked between Christmas and the New Year, and talks continued to continue. The deal, we were told, was 99% done, with the only sticking points being the UK's refusal to give up its right to territorial waters, to accept the ECJ as final legal arbiter and to sign up to a 10-year level playing field clause, small beer, according to EU mandarins. In the US, Biden took office and, for the globalists, another piece of the jigsaw fell into place. Although cases were dropping by the end of January, a fact the government tried very hard to keep from the nation, a second mutated strain of COVID miraculously appeared in mid-February. Sage and Cobra convened and a new five-tier system of regional restrictions were introduced throughout the UK. Every region went immediately into Tier 5 on the 1st of March. On the second Sunday in March 2021, people all over Britain gathered in town and city centres to protest the tier system, the imposition of compulsory mask wearing and, not least, the ongoing problem of the EU and its insistence on having a say in every aspect of British life, even though, to all intents and purposes, Britain was no longer a member of this sclerotic Ponzi scheme. Against everything that made sense, and whilst the police broke up the smaller demonstrations, arresting large numbers of people for public order and anti-tier offences, the army was called in to take over the controlling of the larger demonstrations, with disastrous results. If someone had told us that rank and file soldiers would act in such a way, they wouldn't have been believed, but act they did. In London, Birmingham, Manchester, Portsmouth and Leeds, sports stadiums and vast empty warehouses had been made available. Huge numbers of people were kettled and then herded, en masse, to these places, many of them being held for many hours whilst their details were scrupulously recorded. No one had seen this coming, but it was simply the precursor to very troubling times. COVID rolled on, mutating, conveniently, every 6 weeks or so. By August, all pretense of stable government was gone. The police and army roamed the streets by day and feral gangs by night. It was the same throughout Europe and, in September, without recourse to the nation, a unity government was formed. Civil disobedience and discontent were ruthlessly quashed, social media was all but shut down, and many of the more vociferous dissenting voices were invited to attend, at threat of loss of liberty, or worse, one of the new re-education facilities that were being opened across the country. Quietly, without fanfare and hidden within emergency legislation, talks began to reinstate the UK into the European Union. There were food shortages and power cuts. Petrol and diesel were in short supply, but life, after a fashion, went on, with the new government promising that once things settled down we'd return to a normal way of life. As the country settled into an uneasy kind of new reality, COVID-19 and its mutated variants began to lose their virulence. Older sick people were still dying, but in smaller numbers. The herd immunity that so many, in the early days, had seen as the most effective way to deal with the disease had come into being, and vaccines were doing their part, although many were still very wary of them. It was easy, in the confusion, to avoid being inoculated, and many did. A very wise move, as it turned out. Amazingly, without being instructed to do so, a great number of people still went about their daily business wearing masks and or face shield. 2022 was heralded as a year of change. The UN, the WEF and the WHO began talks to merge into one all-encompassing global watchdog. This was promoted across all major Western media as a great and wonderful thing for all mankind. Nobody mentioned China anymore, apart from in a positive light, but it was Chinese, big pharma and techno giant money that was fueling these first tentative steps towards creating the one world government that cranks, megalomaniacs and the hugely wealthy had so long seen as the one thing that would grant them their legacy and the immortality they craved. The president of the USA, who'd been ousted in a fraudulent election in 2020, and his successor, who many had said was complicit in the fraud, passed away within weeks of each other early in 2023. No one knew back then, but there wouldn't be another Republican in the White House during my lifetime. Domestically, the US was a basket case, but the swamp was back to functioning perfectly, in its own eyes, and the newly installed female POTUS, who'd been pulling the strings of the nation on its behalf since 2021, dwelt comfortably within the fetid quasi-governmental quagmire. The Green Revolution, an integral piece of the Build Back Better, Make the Mega-Rich Richer, jigsaw and an integral part of the Democrat agenda, was gathering momentum. The EU, which was nothing if not covetous of a populist agenda, refused to be left behind in this regard, stepping up its own plans. Now the UK was back in the fold, to decarbonize its debt-ridden economy at an ever faster rate. The world, as it does, continued to turn. People worked and first world governments created jobs, as they'd promised to do during the worst of COVID-19, and borrowed non-existent money to pay the bill. Taxes, food and energy prices rose, but so did wages, benefits and pensions. People stopped asking who ultimately would foot the bill. They were mostly thankful to have enough coming in to buy the latest telly box, mobile phone or other media gadget. There was anger at Strew and protests continued, but those in power had done their job, at least in this regard, very well. Some protest marches went ahead with little interference from the state. Statues were torn down. Museums had exhibits hidden behind blackout curtains and street names were changed. Stop and search was stopped altogether and the murder rate, especially in London, continued to grow, the same mayor still in post after almost 8 years. Other marches, protesting the failings of democracy, compulsory kneeling at sporting events and the capitulation to the EU, amongst other things, were met with a level of force and cynicism that shook many, but no one in a position of power made a stand against this use of force. COVID's 20, 21 and 22, fairly mild viruses that attacked the respiratory tract, came and went, but now people were wary. Just the mention of the word COVID caused consternation, panic and anger in equal measure. Needless to say, governments, the media, pharma and the health industry lapped up each appearance. Governments propagandized, the media spread fear and panic, pharma, always ready with a new vaccine, got bigger and richer and the health services got applauded. January 2024 brought with it COVID-23, more virulent, according to the experts, than 19 to 22 put together, and the cycle of lockdowns, mandatory face coverings and vaccinations continued, but with greater vigor and focused compliance. Tiers 6, 7 and 8 were introduced. It was illegal, in Tier 8, to close windows and doors. The new normal was now the old normal and a new normal came into being. Peculiarly, older people seemed less affected than with previous strains and mutations, although that was probably because the ones still alive had achieved immunity from living as normal a life as possible throughout the madness. The vaccines were re-engineered, governments propagandized, the media spread fear and panic, pharma, always on point, got bigger and richer and the health services got applauded, again. People, the vast majority anyway, were bowed. 4 years of relentless scaremongering and propaganda had taken its toll. The BBC license fee, now compulsory whether or not you had a TV or radio, went up to £350 a year. Cynics saw it as a reward from government for a job well done. Children still mine lithium and other rare earth minerals in Africa, Other children, in countries without access to such minerals, starved, but their leaders all had nice jet planes, so no one really cared. Life was still as cheap as it had always been. Throughout history, periods of great change, especially political tyranny and social upheaval, had seen the rise of the revolutionary. Tyrannies had been fought and, in many notable cases, quashed, often against overwhelming and seemingly insurmountable odds. A line of succession had been established in the US, and constitutional patriots saw it as their duty to challenge the global swamp hegemony. In Europe, Australia, South America, where totalitarianism and revolutionary verve had long taken a turn each, and India, to a lesser extent, disparate groups came together, secretly, to form movements that sought to reinstall the democratic process and put the destiny of people back in their own hands. However, in 2025, nothing remained a secret for too long. As the people organized, so did the global state. Here it saw the opportunity that climate alarmism, critical race theory, the green agenda, wokeness, luxury communism, indoctrination through education, mind pollution via 24-hour media and a cycle of pandemics hadn't provided, despite all its best efforts. The opportunity, once and for all, to create the compliant and subservient consumerist society that grew, learned, worked, spent and played exactly when and how it was told to. In the late summer of 2025, people began to strike, to disrupt transport systems and block entry to government buildings. These weren't the climate activists or the useful idiots who'd done the globalist bidding over perceived racial injustice back in 2019, these were ordinary working men and women who could feel the way the wind was blowing and wanted a return to their old normal. Christmas came and went and a new year dawned. The globalist machine hadn't been idle though, even if it was cumbersome and still in a formative state. It readied itself and took stock, because it knew that, however it chose to react to this challenge, the reaction must be swift and decisive. It thought it had factored everything into its calculations, but, of course, it hadn't. To be continued.